o'clock agenda item, and it will be an action item for fiscal year 2026 funding requests for historic preservation organizations. Morning, so what do we have?
Good morning. Commissioners, as you know, we care strongly about historic preservation in Canyon County. So we are here to give a presentation on recommendations from the Historic Preservation Commission for potential grant awards within the county. We have a document that I'm sure will be, that is available to the public that gives a broad overview and review of this stuff that we do each year. The Historic Preservation Commission on behalf of Canyon County is made up of historic preservation experts who, and it's a certified local grant program, which means that there is formal process to being to getting that status, and then meeting certain requirements, which makes sure that it's a worthy board to offer advice and suggestions to yourselves, the commissioners, about local historic preservation. We're very proud about the number of experts and the type of experts we have on the board. We probably meet more of the qualifications than many of the other CLGs in Idaho. And I always love to highlight who the members on the board are. In this document, you'll also find what a state statute kind of says about what this money can be used for. Up to a 12th of a 1,000th of a percent of taxes can go towards historic preservation by state statute. We have formed, on direction of the commissioners, beginning in 2013, we formed a grant process where historical societies, 501c3s, nonprofits doing historical work in the county can apply for funds from the county taxes. So this year, we have 16 applications from 11 different organizations. It is the most we've ever had. The requests total $173,463. On page 3 of the document, you can see the distribution of where those requests are from. I will briefly go over the 16 in here because going over it in detail would be too much. American Legion has two different requests, both for the National Register listed chateau. One is for paint and restoration on the exterior. The second is for a due diligence survey. Due diligence surveys are almost, it's an expert assessment of what condition your building's in and what needs repair, what order you should do things in, and how to long-term maintain the building. So I think of it as when you buy a house, you have somebody come in and inspect it, tell you what's wrong so you know what to do in the future. That is kind of the same thing for these. It's good for these old buildings to know exactly what you're supposed to do, especially with these organizations where it's volunteers that might not have the expertise to know how to care for the building in the long run and like the lifespan of certain things and when certain repairs are going to need to be done and in what order. Canyon County Historical Society has two requests, Nampa Train Depot Heating and Air Conditioning. It is kind of a comfort thing, but when you have historic buildings and historic artifacts, it is something that is more concerning as far as the preservation of the artifacts that are housed within buildings. Seems like a comfort thing, but actually has some urgency for historic preservation. The second grant request is for restroom restoration for, the bathroom was renovated in 1960s and due for some upgrades. Historical Society of Middleton is looking for interpretive signs at the National Register trolley station there. Idaho Civil War volunteers are hoping to get money for a cannon carriage for a model 1841 mountain howitzer for their kind of mobile events so that they can get one of these cannons to and from and actually have it mounted to be useful. the Idaho PEO chapter, this is a new organization that is applied. This is the Philanthropic Educational Organization. They have a national register building and it needs some, one of their applications is for painting the outside of the building. It's the Dorman Mansion. It's a very beautiful building. The second application for them is to renovate the kitchen inside. Melba Valley Historical Society is requesting money for interpretive panels for the Melba Valley Museum. They renovated a lot on the building. They have acquired the parcel next to it and done some upgrades and are hoping to put some interpretive signs out there. The benefit of interpretive signs outside is that the building doesn't have to be open for people to learn about these things. Nampa Public Library Foundation, they're requesting money to replace a microfilm reader that is broken. So currently they have no microfilm reader, but microfilm, so it doesn't do much good if you can't read it. So they are requesting funds to replace the broken reader. Orma J. Smith Museum, this is another new applicant. Orma J. Smith Museum has lots of historical things, but also natural history. And actually they have one of the largest collections of fossil plants west of the Mississippi, and their exhibits and preservation cabinets are in need of some upgrades. So they are requesting funds for that. The library in Parma is a historic building that is just amazing and deserves to be on the National Register list. And I think that is one of their long-term, well, that is one of their long-term goals. They are requesting funds for a due diligence survey of the building. Like we said, it helps to know what order and how you should do repairs and the like. And then they're requesting funds to put it on the National Register listing, which is when you hire an expert to do that. So this one applicant is actually, the applicant is Preservation Idaho on behalf of that building. So it has local elected officials support, community support, and Preservation Idaho is the one requesting the funding to make these, for those applications. Snake River Canyon Scenic Byway is requesting funds to do an audio tour so that people can download and listen to the audio tour as they travel the byway. And then the second request is to do signage upgrades along the byway. And of course, that has to do with historic preservation because there's a lot of historic items along those along that byway, and you know, an economic driver for the county is also nice. The Wittenberger Planetarium, this one I just want to clarify, it's a very low request. They have a projector from the 70s that they still use in this planetarium, and so it is to replace the LED light source in those. So I kind of think of it as you've got a lighthouse, it's very hard to find certain light bulbs to change out, right? So that's kind of what they're requesting here is they'd like to keep using this 1970s planetarium projector, but they need a new light bulb. So that is the very quick abbreviated version of these projects. You will see on the larger document that the Historic Preservation Commission ranked these projects as urgent, high, medium, or low in priority. And this was done with a couple rounds of ranking. It is hard to make these decisions on how to rank these things because it's hard to compare apples and oranges, right? Like, projects are worthy for different reasons. All of them are 501c3. The committee has had time to ask questions, seek more information. So at this point, it's kind of an open conversation about what the county is comfortable with funding. So we have tried to lay it out in a helpful way where the urgent projects, you can see there's individual, well, all of them have individual amounts. The column clear on the right, the cumulative total helps you if you're making decisions based on a cutoff line. So if the guidance is around the same amount as last year, which was 76,000, the closest cutoff line that puts us under is at that 69,858 mark, which is goes down to the Nampa Library microfilm reader. The suggestion of the committee after that, if you're not willing to go to the 80,258 mark because that's higher, would be to select some of the smaller projects that go down in order. So for instance, we go from $69,000 at that Nampa microfilm reader to the next project could be the Snake River Canyon Scenic Byway Audio Tour, which is $3,000. And then the next one down that's more moderate is that Middleton Trolley Station Interpretive Signage. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Trying to think through a few scenarios here that might be helpful. Obviously, we would love to see all the projects funded. We always want to see all the worthy projects funded, but we also just want to help with troubleshooting through what is a comfortable budget for next year. And at this point, I stand for questions regarding any of these projects.
Chairman? I always have lots of questions when Director Schwinn comes in. She and I both like history, but I'm going to start up with the Canyon County Historical Society. So in maybe 2019 or 2020, there was a change from how those funds were distributed where you stepped in and assumed more responsibility in your role as a subject matter expert in artifacts in Idaho. But has that changed? Has that posture at all changed? This is a building that's owned by the railroad, leased to the city of Nampa. Canyon County is involved because you have the, you know, we get an application and you help direct that. But I'm going to go back to history in the, have we been allowed or have you been allowed as the director with your expertise to go in and inventory the artifacts that are in the historical train depot museum?
Commissioner Van Beek, I have been in the buildings. Inventorying what is there would be a significant task. And it's run by the Canyon County Historical Society. And so we do what we can as the Historic Preservation Commission. We don't really have authority over them. We have formed a much better relationship with the group to offer suggestions on how we think that they should prioritize some applications that they submit to us. Ultimately, it's under their control, and they're a group of volunteers. I am not sure what their inventory of items looks like.
Okay.
It's a good suggestion, but that would be an area where I would suggest to them that they make an application to hire somebody to do that. I do believe, though, that they have collections programs where they use volunteers to inventory items, but that's a matter of time and efforts.
Right.
Right, like most of these organizations struggle with, there's more historic preservation to do than there is funds or time or volunteers.
And Chairman, I have a follow-up question. So what I heard you say was that Parks and Rec is not the curator, not the person to do that kind of look at that. And you really were brought in because of your expertise in your ability to manage grant funding and make sure that the projects are funded. And so with that, this made the paper probably 7 or 8 years ago because the Historical Society had received more than $1 million from Canyon County, and we really didn't have a placeholder or a feel for how those funds were being managed. So you stepped in and you not only bring the grant requests forward, but you make sure that in the distribution of those funds throughout the year, that the projects that were dedicated to receive that are fulfilled. And so this is listed as an urgent request on that. My other question would be, do we get any kind of a sense of the amount of traffic? 3,300 people, I think, is what was listed, go through that museum a year. And then maybe it's not even relevant now, but it just a your tracking. But I guess I'm struggling, Chairman, because this is listed as urgent, and I inherently want them to be able to have a listing of what's in there and how it's with as old, I think, as some of those artifacts are, to make sure that the curator is involved in preserving those. I don't know that I have that. I know that they've received a large portion of taxpayer dollars for that facility.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, so one of the things that we do when we're considering these applications is to make sure that any of these entities that apply have done their responsibility by proving to us that any grant monies they've received have been used and expended for those projects. Mm-hmm. So that is one way that we do have a bit of control when we give them money. We can make sure that before they get any more money, they have done the work that they've applied for, proven that they've spent the money for that, and they have done that with all the grants that we have given them. And so that's why we are presenting this because they have adhered to the requirements to date. Since the funding was all changed in 2013, the funding mechanism was changed in 2013. We can offer them suggestions and work with them on things, but they do house a lot of artifacts that we do want to make sure are protected. I do think they are making really good efforts on trying to inventory what they have, but again, it's hard to get everything done when you're just dealing with volunteers. So, our historic preservation officer, Chelsea, who couldn't be here, she does a lot of work with trying to educate these organizations, assist them, make sure they've got the right connections and liaisons. And Canyon County Historical Society board members have been actively coming to our meetings. Chelsea has been actively going to theirs. So I think, it's all in a good spot right now. And the reason it's listed as urgent is that we do want to make sure that the historic items inside the building are not going to degrade or be destroyed because of extreme temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is a worthy project. They have received a lot of funding in the past, but we try to just judge the projects based on just the projects.
Right.
Recommending forward. So, but ultimately it is the commissioner's decisions on how to spend that funding and how much you're willing to put into the funding.
Yep. No, thank you for that. And I don't want to get off track, Chairman. I just I want to ask a question for the clerk because of his prior tenure with NAPA. Was there ever any discussion about NAPA including this as a part of their parks program or part of their city?
I'm sorry, which
This is for the NAPA Train Depot, the heating and air conditioning project. I just wondered if NAPA ever considered incorporating that into something that's a regular part of an extension of the city rather than.
I can't speak to the contemplation on that structure. I know there's some history and there's a lot of opinions about how things ought to be. So I think as Director Schwinn said, that you are levying whatever the funds are that you
mm-hmm. deal
with. I know there's some in NAPA who have the opinion that there should at least be a proportionate amount of whatever your total award is, to NAPA projects. That's one opinion I've heard. There's varying opinions. I as a curiosity, just did the math on just the urgent and high and the NAMPA and the Caldwell projects are about proportionate to what their percentage is within the county.
Okay.
Of course, there's going to be projects for the smaller communities that would exceed, and I don't know philosophically if you rotate around, the Parmas, the Notices, the Melbas, because obviously they're a very small percentage of what's actually being collected. If you view the historical levy collection as you're levying, so I know many in NAMPA say most of the money that you're getting is coming from NAMPA, and that is, they are the largest contributor to the levied funds that you award in the historical. That's not to say that every year they should always get that, but I know that there has been a lot of discussion about philosophy and how you approach the awarding of stuff, but I...
Right.
Chair, Commissioners, so the reverse argument has been that if you total everything that NAMPA has gotten, it's well over 80% historically.
Yeah.
So that is the counter argument about spreading it around. And ultimately, as Clerk Kogelbaum is trying to illustrate, is that people are very passionate about the historic preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, that's why we don't like to tell the commissioners where we think it should stop, because we would like to see them all funded.
Right.
But, then there's reality. So, I certainly like to see it spread out. And so that was one of the factors that the commission talked about in strategies of maybe assisting commissioners with making decisions, is that, you've got NAMPA with the American Legion, Canyon County, Parma, and then Caldwell, and then NAMPA again to hit that almost 70,000 mark. And then if you chose some of the smaller projects, the Snake River Scenic Byway, that is a huge portion of the county, right? And then if you went to the Middleton historical signs, that would put you at about 78,000 if you did it that way. And then you're including a very widespread diversity of projects, right? But it is philosophical, because you can see benefits and in many different ways. That's why it is very hard and sometimes emotional for people making these recommendations.
Chairman, can I ask? Yeah, go ahead.
Very quickly, and I think if part of that 80% was to the Canyon County Historical Society. Is that one of the recipients?
80%, because it used to solely fund.
Yeah. So I know that I'd say that the counter argument, not to be argumentative, just to give you situational awareness on a lot of the discussion, is that it's the Canyon County Historical Society. It happens to be in NAMPA. So whether that's viewed as NAMPA specific or it's just they happen to host the Canyon County Historical Society. So you can go on and on with this, but that could paralyze you and your decision making, and that's not the intent. But
right.
Other than to say that, as Director Schwinn said, that there's a lot of people who care deeply about history, and it's not just the history in their backyard. I mean, you're having to look at this holistically, and I like to take my kids on field trips and show them the history throughout Canyon County, and so it's important to preserve the history throughout the county as a whole.
Historic preservation is a huge economic driver.
Yeah.
And that's, a side benefit that's hard to show, but it is true. People love history.
Chairman, I have a couple more questions to a couple more projects, and they're not necessarily up in the upper half, but who would be doing the narrating for the Snake River Canyon Scenic Byway audio tour?
Oh, they actually have a former, I wish I could remember for sure, but they actually have somebody experienced who is volunteering their time, somebody local. I can't remember if it's from a news station or a radio station.
Retired news broadcaster from Eugene.
Oh, okay.
He has the radio voice.
Yes, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. And then the PEO building.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that. Can you give me some more information about that?
Yeah, so it's a philanthropic organization for women, and currently that building actually serves as housing for, from what I understand, older single women. You know, it's not, it's just housing and a communal dining place.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a National Register building, which is why higher in the ranking is caring for the outside of the building through the painting. There were discussions about the dining room and its accessibility. There are times it could be accessible, but it is more limited access to the public, to the general public, than some of these other projects.
And where is it located?
It is...
It's on Logan over by the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman.
It's a beautiful building.
Clerk, do we have, can we have historicals say for what the last 10 years is what we... And the second question is, it probably has the same rules since it's a ad valorem tax about changing the amounts up or down and all of the rules that 389 has, except it's just on a much smaller amount.
Yeah, I think as Director Schwinn said, it's that, I think, what, 1/12 of a percent? 1/1000th of a percent. So I think it's... I think we're within those limits, and then historically, it's been sort of, it's fluctuated over the years. So, I mean, this year's budget, you probably see that was 76,700. I know that not all of that has been expended yet. My guess is I don't know what the process is if you wait for an invoice or if you award it when there's some sort of proof that they're incurring the project.
So this one is a. This one has always been, they receive the money and then we ask them for proof of the expenses, and if there's unspent funds, it's returned. Part of that is because many of these groups can, even if they're charging fees, are still struggling to keep the lights on if they have a building. So it's definitely one where these projects fluctuate through the years. We also had the year where COVID happened, where we had at that time the highest number of requests, but you know, commissioners had to make the decisions to fund only urgent ones while we waited to see the repercussions of taxes and stuff through that. So it does go up and down. But from what I was told several years ago, if we tax the full 1/12 of a 1/1000th of a percent, it would be up to like $2 million to give you an idea of how much potential. I would definitely ask Clerk Kogelbaum to verify that, because it was.
I would have to run the numbers, and just anything you levy here is still part of the entire max. So.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of rooms in the same house, basically, right?
And yeah.
The house has to stay at a certain square footage, so think of that as the max levy authority, and so. We are using this sub-levy for this amount. I was just asking the controller what was in the fund balance, because I know that there is some fund balance that obviously we collect the property taxes twice a year, and then for cash flow purposes we send out. I don't know if there's been a report of refunds in prior years, because I think that there's maybe a little bit that's in there. I'm not suggesting that there's sufficient funds to cover more projects than what we levy necessarily, but I think...
So, yeah, because this is based on property taxes, historically what's been done is in January. So the agreements go out in October 1st for the fiscal year, right? So that's technically they could start the project, but they don't get half the funding until January after taxes are collected in December. And then they don't get the second half of the funding until July when property taxes are available to expend. That does make it really... tricky. It would be ideal if they could just get the full amount. And, you know, it delays project start. They have to get creative. Sometimes they just have to wait until they get all the funds. So, but currently that is how it's done, is half money, 6 months later, half the money.
And there have been just a couple refunds, very small, over the last couple of years, so nothing large. The other piece that I forgot was occupancy. So you levy... We're putting in the L2, not W2, sorry, it's lunchtime, close to lunchtime. So in the L2, you put the fixed dollar amount, but then when there's occupancy, we budgeted occupancy this year, but I think we kept their budget as far as the expenditures to what the levied amount is. So there's anything that you levy money to, if there's occupancy, it gets proportionately spread to all the levied funds because it has that logical connection. Because the reason you're collecting that money is tied to the levy. So all that to say, there's just a little bit, but I think it's important to know that because we're not levying the full budget on the front half of the year, as Director Schwinn said, there's kind of a phasing over the fiscal year to do some projects and then do the rest in the second half of the year. But historically, you know, the budgets fluctuated, you know, 86,000, 90,000, 68,000, 99,000. In 21, it was 35.8. I don't know if that's an anomaly.
That was for COVID.
COVID year, yeah. So it was a small year. And then it jumped back up to 96, and then it was 74. And then the 24 budget, it was 50,000 and change, and then it went up to 76,000 and change for this year. So it's fluctuated.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, yeah. The requests have almost always been much higher than what has been
funded.
Yes, so that's just one of the part of the conversation I want to have is that, you know, this is the most we've had in requests. So there's always requests. So those funding amounts oftentimes is linked to just where everyone is comfortable setting that budget line.
Clerk, you gave the illustration of there's many rooms in the house, but it's still the total square footage. That doesn't help me at all because the statute, I've heard the scuttlebutt also that historical is a potential of $2 million and we're spending less than $100,000. So I guess, A, I would like to have that researched because I don't like the scuttlebutt or the misunderstanding of the potential. I totally agree with what you're saying that there's several rooms in the house, i.e. that we have a general budget for county taxes, and this is part and parcel within that line item. That's why my caution, I don't know that I want to go down, and I don't know that I want to go up.
Chairman?
Until I know more, I don't want to rock the boat.
And we're on the same page. I don't know how we're tracking so well, but I would want to, I just say that in fun. I would want to reserve the right to look at these. I agree with you, given the amount that could be levied. You know, she's given us a line, basically it's 70,000, but she's also given us a lot of wiggle room on we could choose to prioritize some of the smaller asks. I need more time to evaluate the information and would like the information brought back from the clerk's side. This is always an interesting, I say that every time we come together, but it's always interesting because this is really kind of like frosting for what happens in the county. This is what makes Canyon County unique, and there's so many diversified areas in so many different places. I did want to ask a question, if that's okay. What's the dollar amount that's been awarded in the last, say, 3 years to the American Legion Post? Because this isn't the first ask for them.
Commissioner Van Beek, I would have to get back to you on that. It has been significant because that building needed some very significant
right.
And it's always been that building is much more accessible to the public and, you know, like the train depot, it's very iconic. So it has received quite a bit of funding in the last few years on some significantly high dollar projects. But again, they were all needed for that building.
Sure. Yep. And so maybe, Chairman, it would be interesting to know who's never been funded, maybe on a specified time period, how much funding they've received. And then to establish a dollar threshold, and any way we get there on the pieces of the puzzle, that's what's in my head.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, I can tell you that the Parma Library, Parma has never made application for anything. The Orma J. Smith has never made application. The Idaho PEO Chapter House has never made application, and then the Wittenberger Planetarium. Those are the four brand new applicants for this fiscal year.
And Chairman, can I ask another question?
Sure.
It's interesting to me that a private college does not have, because there's a lot of support for College of Idaho in the community. I'm just wondering if those needs have been, because it's not like they're large dollar amounts, but are they marketing those needs to their alumni to improve that? I don't know. That's another question I had. How are they doing that with their alumni base?
Commissioner, Madam Chair,
we know what you meant.
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, I am not sure on that. And that's kind of one of those tricky ones where it's not really our authority to, you know, dictate to them to how they're looking for these
sure.
funds. I think like many places, unfortunately, history and, you know, parks, feel good stuff, unfortunately, receives less than other urgent needs or money makers, right? And so I would imagine that this organization, this museum is probably seeking funding from anywhere they can and probably doing what they can to get money from donors, but you can't get it if you don't try. So they definitely have heard about ours and are trying, which I love, because we want to make sure that, you know, if we continue to do these grants, that people do know about them so we can fund worthy projects and keep historic preservation happening.
Yeah. And thank you for your efforts. I mean, you always are good about trying to spread that around the county so that it's unbiased and fair.
These it's hard because you want to fund them all, and they all tug at your heartstrings.
Mm-hmm. Great projects, really. It's very interesting to read. You've done a great job putting the visuals and the narrative together for that.
That was Chelsea, the historic preservation officer.
Chelsea, great job.
Unfortunately, not able to be here.
Yeah.
So, Chairman,
yes.
Just, you know, on the L2, our total levy rate is 0.0156. I think maybe the prior, I heard maybe the prior clerk controller had maybe contemplated the possibility of levying everything under current expense, because the current expense total cap levy rate is 0.0026. So for perspective, everything we're levying falls under what the levy cap is for current expense if you were to levy at all. There are some counties that levy everything, and this maybe adds to the confusion, like Owyhee County, for example, just levies everything under current expense. And then you budget for all the functions, and it's just simpler for some of those counties to just, if you have, because you still have your max amount to be levied, which of course is the highest of the prior 3 years, plus 3% plus new construction, you go through that formula. So that is the rolling max figure, and then you divide that by the total taxable value, and you see what your levy rate is. For those counties, they just levy everything under current expense. They're fine. They can still get their max multiplied divided by the total value, and it's still within that levy rate. If values were to drop in Canyon County, then, for example, we wouldn't possibly be able to levy everything under current expense. So the risk you have in consolidating is that you might hit that levy cap, and then you unlock other levy caps. So let's say we levied $60 million and you hit $50 million was your max under current expense. Then if you wanted to get the other $10 million, you would have to then unlock another levy. So Justice Fund or District Court are usually the two most common additional levied funds at the county. And of course, some counties have an airport. It adds to all of the complexity. But unlocking more levy funds does not mean you're adding to your collection beyond what your max budget is. And I think that those two things get confused. So if our max levied amount is $60 million, that's the most you can collect. How you want to collect it and divvy it out is basically what the budget process is. That involves also, you know, the filling out of the L2 forms and setting those budgets specific to those levied funds. So you have the option of just levying everything under current expense based on what the financial situation is right now, and then awarding to the Historical Society all you want without levying within the Historical Society. Would it change what your max levy is? I don't know if that makes sense. So some counties, you know, you have justice fund, you have tort, you have, you know, assessor's reappraisal, fair. You know, we've historically levied within each of those. None of those sub-levies are approaching their caps, and it divides it out. But it also means all our fund balances stay restricted to those funds. I don't know. So some of the counties that like to consolidate don't have to do as much fund accounting because it's all coming to one mother fund, and then you just decide your budget by function within that same fund. I don't know if that makes sense. But you can have different divisions and functions like we do under current expense. And you would still have the fair and everything else, but it's just under one fund. It also is easier for fund balance tracking and fund balance policy. So part of the challenges we have is the varying degree of fund balance within all of the different funds, which you can't really commingle, right, unless you dissolve one of those funds. If you dissolve the fund, then you get to move the fund balance into current expense, but it doesn't mean you have to eliminate the function. So, for example, you could eliminate the fair levy, bringing that fund balance into current expense, but still fund the fair at your discretion every single year if under your purview as commissioner. So I know there's 44 counties. You know, the joke is there's 44 ways of doing things. But I think that does add to the confusion, is that maybe you have the discretion to go collect another $1 million on Historical Society if you wanted to, and it wouldn't count against the rest of the funds, but it does. If you levy more to them, then it's less you're levying to someone else. It's, if you're going to levy the max of my hypothetical $60 million, that's the max you can levy. That's a statutory limit. How you want to levy those funds is where you have some flexibility based on historical practice, based on the respective fund amounts. But we do have to track fund balance separately for each fund in the way we do things. So it keeps the fund segregated, and you're levying. There's legal requirements that if you're levying to a fund, those monies have to be collected into that fund and spent on that fund. So I don't know if that helped or added more confusion, but there is no more capacity on this. And I understand Commissioner Brooks, who isn't here, part of the frustration I think you expressed earlier with district health. We levied $1 million and change 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's approaching 2.5 mil. It's almost a 2.5 increase in a 5-year period. But that additional million, 1.5 million that's levied, it is within our max. It's not the separate thing. So as district health has gone up, the population hasn't doubled in 5 years, but what's levied to the district health has more than doubled. And that does create challenges, budgetary challenges, because that's less money that you get to apply to all the other functions of the county when you do that. So, but yeah, the Historical Society, you have a lot of discretion to fund as you will. Hopefully I'll just keep my comments kind of to the levy and the fund balance, but there are levy limits for all of the different funds. I won't recite them to you.
Yeah.
I can assure you that we're under those caps. And there might have been a time when the economic downturn occurred, and I heard like in 07, 08, 09, that the levy rates go up, right? So because if the houses are worth half, let's say all the property values dropped in half next year, the levy rate would double. I don't know if that makes sense. If you choose to collect the same amount of money, because your budget is divided by the total value of what you're... If the total value of the community were to be cut in half, the rate at which you collect goes up if you're collecting the same amount of money. So sometimes there's a lot of confusion, too, about policymakers saying that they lowered the levy rate. part of the lower, the levy rate being lowered might be intentionally not collecting as much taxes as you could have, which contributes in a very partial increment. But by and large, why the levy rate in Canyon County and most of the special taxing districts throughout Canyon County have gone down is because property values have gone up. When property values go up, it doesn't mean your budget gets to go up by that same increment. And that's another confusing factor for a lot of residents. They think that because home, all the collective value of the community is doubled, it doesn't mean your budget collection gets to double. You're still subject to that hard cap, which means the levy rate keeps going down as values go up at a faster rate than your budget, which has happened for the last 10 years on average. Values have gone up faster than your budget can go up. At least your property tax budget.
Would you like to take this under advisement and wait till Commissioner Brooks is here?
I would, Chairman. You know, we can toss it in with the rest of that, the miscellaneous on the torts and the whatever that we're considering.
He was... I've heard him speak that he was pretty concerned about this, and I think this is additional information that he hasn't been able to take in. And,
Agreed.
So I guess I'll make a motion that we take this under advisement without a decision. We'll probably ask you to come back and be here when Commissioner Brooks could be here, and then talk that through about what we're going to choose to do.
Chairman, do you see additional value or a value in additional information that it would include who's been funded before and how much? Is that important to you? It'll be work for them, so.
You know, I think I would sort of, but I think I am a little bit concerned about post 18 getting time after time after time significant money. And there's other people that are diligently in line. I'm also concerned about purchasing an air conditioning system and the way electricity goes. They will spend that much money on that if they air condition down that building that I think it is. They'll spend that much money in 5 to 6 years in electric bills. So where's their budget on that? I guess I have questions. Great to buy an air conditioning system. How are you going to pay for air conditioning? That's a significant part of your budget. So I guess I do have a few questions there. I guess at this point, I'm pretty much adamantly opposed against the researching what the expenses are. I think we have cleared down to the generic absolute need more than just a study. And I get the studies. I'm not bad-mouthing them whatsoever. But when you have such minuscule amount of money to put towards such a big need, choices have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the greatest mileage? And I guess come back with us with some thoughts about that. I know what the board, you've represented what the board advised. And I'll take that under advisement. And if you have any other thoughts since the board, I'd like to hear those too. Any other thoughts from the clerk?
Okay. We'll just keep it in at the fully loaded amount until you take it under further advisement.
Okay.
I agree. Greg, you have any thoughts? Do we have any prior, do we have any future date that we could land this on?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we can actually add this, as Commissioner Van Beek said, with the ARPA and the TOR in general discussion. But we'll see what that day looks like.
Well, what a day that will be.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Did you make a motion, Chairman? Or?
I think I want to amend it. I think that we will postpone making a decision, direct the clerk to, at this point, add that, keep the 77, whatever it is, in there, and then we'll set a third meeting to meet on trying to decide what the awards could be.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Well, Interesting discussions, like.
It's not easy.
No, not easy at all. All right, if there's nothing else, I make a motion, will you adjourn?
I second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, we are adjourned, thank you.